subject of prosperity is one that has captivated the imagination of the Christian world in the last 20 to 30 years. It seemed like it was never a big deal before that, but was a matter of course that if you followed the truth of God and did what He said and obeyed His word, that things would go well for you in your life. He would cause you to prosper in that which you had set out to do. In recent days, the church has gotten a hold of false doctrine, has twisted the word of God to suggest that if you are truly a child of God, you must be prosperous. You must have abundance of the things of this world and of its material good and wealth. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Biblical prosperity refers to accomplishing first and foremost that which God has set for us to do. That's prosperity. That's success. We go back to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 to find the old path of prosperity. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Where the children of Israel were coming into the land of promise. And Moses' words from God were to Joshua, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There are different kinds of prosperity. There is, as we've already alluded to, the prosperity of financial gain, or as people like to call it, easy street, financial security, independently wealthy, so on and so forth. We consider them to be prosperous. And they are in the terms of wealth. There is prosperity in other realms. There's prosperity of knowledge and wisdom. Solomon was the great example of this prosperity. And that prosperity led to other aspects of prosperity. There can be prosperity in awards and achievements that don't always bring wealth with them. There can be prosperity in a knowledge in a field of study, in a science, in terms of history. And we should admit and explain that there can be prosperity in wickedness. There can not only be an abundance of it and a wealth of it, but there can be those things which the world sets so to their eyes and to their hearts. Abundance of wealth, even in wickedness, can be prosperity in that. But it's not biblical prosperity. It's not divine prosperity. It's not the prosperity that is good and pleasant and a blessing to the soul. Indeed, there are those in the world who have been raised up and made prosperous simply for the defining of the depths of depravity. Don't have to look any farther for examples of that prosperity than the worldly idols of Hollywood entertainment. And I lump in that the idols of athletics as well. For the most part, those that achieve wealth and prosperity in those fields and in those endeavors raised up simply to show the depths of depravity, to show the awfulness of sin in the soul and the reality of what it will and can attain unto. And that, as Jeremiah said, the wickedness of the heart is greater than anything we can know. There are those who are raised up to give their wealth to others. The Bible makes it very clear in Proverbs that there are some who gain riches to be disposed of to those in need, even if it's contrary to their wishes. There are those who are raised up like Nebuchadnezzar and Herod, only to be cut off, to show the truth of God, that He is the final judge, the final arbiter of all that goes on in this world. So prosperity needs to be looked at carefully. It needs to be examined according to the truth of God, and it needs to be enjoyed along special terms and by walking down certain paths. We've already alluded to the path that Moses set before Joshua, the path of prosperity. Hezekiah's life is a demonstration, is an example of a life lived in the paths of prosperity. Let me qualify. Hezekiah was an earthly king. Understand this and don't let it separate from your thinking about Hezekiah. He was a man. He was frail and fallible, and he fell. He sinned, even in his prosperity. In that case and in that aspect of his life, he was an example of the truth of God, of the heart grown fat and lifted up. As you read through the life of Hezekiah, and I trust if you're following a Bible reading schedule, that you have probably come to that in recent days, if not in the last week, as I have. You have remembered that Hezekiah, in his wealth, at the end of his life, after his illness, when the Lord healed him, his heart was lifted up with pride. The scriptures tell us that. And he sinned against the Lord. We don't know exactly what the sin was, but he sinned. Even in his prosperity. Even in all of that blessing. But Hezekiah tells us how to live prosperously. How to accomplish. How to succeed in the task that the Lord has given us to succeed. We want to look at the paths of Hezekiah's prosperity today. I want to draw your attention, first of all, to the origin of those paths. The origins. We need to look no further than his name, Hezekiah. The name of Hezekiah means strengthened by Jehovah. But even before he came into this world, he was being prepared for a certain purpose. It is very, very important that we understand this and that it be at the top of our thinking of the Christian life. We are not our own. We are not even called to Christianity for our own sakes, but for God's purpose, for God's plan. It is our great benefit to be Christians. It is our great joy to think on what God has done in delivering us from the depths, the mire, the misery of sin. It's a great privilege. It's a great honor. It's a great joy to see how He has done it, and that it has been a miraculous fashion and how He brought everything together and spoke to us. But we must never forget that it is for His glory. That He is the author of our salvation. It was not Hezekiah who did all of the great things that we find in his life. Who cleansed the temple. Who reestablished the Passover. Who defeated the armies of Hezekiah that overran Israel and Ephraim. Did whatever they wanted in that part of the country. Could go no farther when Hezekiah raised his hand and said, "Stay your proud ways." It But it was the Lord. It was God who purposed to raise him up, to strengthen him. As his name teaches us to walk in his ways. It was the Lord who moved Hezekiah, who spoke to him. This occurred long before that first year of his reign, before that beginning point. We read in 2 Chronicles in chapter 29, the beginning of the life of Hezekiah, we read in the first year of his reign, in the first month, that already there was a work going on in his life. It was the work that we sang about in Psalm 84. It was the love of a temple that was closed to his entrance by his father, by the neglect of the kings before him. It was a love for the God of the temple, a love for the truth, a love for the teachings of Moses, young in life, moved Hezekiah, so that on the first day of the first month of the first year of his reign, what was it that we read? In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, he purposed to cleanse the temple. He began to work on the doors right at the very beginning. So there was a work going on in his life and his soul beforehand. He didn't wait for the new year. He didn't wait for that day of the calendar. He was already at work in his heart and his life. And it was the Lord who was at work to do this. He tells us in verse 10 of chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles that it was in my heart to make a covenant unto the Lord. It was in my heart. It was something that was there. It was something that was put there, is the force of those words. The origin of all prosperity, biblical, true, eternal prosperity, comes from the Lord. And it comes from the Lord in a very certain way. It comes, as we've spoken of, from the old paths. It comes in a way that God has provided. God has stated and established. It comes from seeking unto His Word and His commandments. And that is the great demonstration of Hezekiah's life. What did he do when he came to the throne? He started in to cleanse the temple. He gave all of his attention to the worship, the temple worship. He started there and he did not stop. Everything else took a back seat. Oh, he still fulfilled all of his responsibilities. But this responsibility took priority. Was set above. It was where he spent his first attention and gave his first respect, diligence, and adherence. We read those words in the reading from 2 Kings that Hezekiah clave unto the Lord. The trust of the Lord that Hezekiah had that would exalt him above every king in his expansion of the kingdom. And that was in the way that he loved the Lord, in the way that he was devoted to the tabernacle, greater even than David. David didn't have the temple. He had the tabernacle. So, but Hezekiah would give his entire devotion to the temple, greater than Solomon. Remember what Solomon provided for the temple worship when he dedicated it? Hezekiah here is exalted as greater, as higher than all the kings that came before him in his devotion. And that's because he built cities for the sheep, read in chapter 31. It's in chapter 31. He built cities for the sheep for what? For the sacrifice. Continue making the sacrifice. And this was the point of Hezekiah's determination to cleanse the temple. It was not just so that it would be clean and shiny and so everybody could see it and be nice. It was to go in and worship. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and we'll go closer to the end. After the priest had gone into the temple and they had cleansed it in 16 days, 8 days in the inner portion and 8 days in the outer portion, their work was diligent under the authority of Hezekiah. Then in verse 20 we read that Hezekiah the king rose early after it was cleansed and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering. A sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. Here we begin to find the origins of prosperity. It is in that which God has established. It is in that which God works upon the heart of the soul. And it is in that response. You can look at it in 2 ways. You have the invisible aspect of those paths, of God working. And then you have the visible or the practical, and that is our working, the outworking in the life. And we see it in Hezekiah. He cleansed the temple. He gave attention to it according to the commandment of the Lord, according to the law of Moses. He obeyed. He set his heart to obey, to remove all the filth of his fathers. He repented. The pathway of true prosperity, of biblical prosperity, lies in that doorway of repentance, turning away, turning toward. What did Hezekiah turn toward? It's found in the sacrifices. It's found in his work here. I don't read of any other attention to the sacrificial work, the aspect of the temple worship that we find here. They killed the bullocks, verse 22, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. 3 times attention is given to the heart of the gospel, the heart of the temple worship, the heart of the way that God had given for salvation. Sprinkling of the blood. Look at Josiah's life. There's one mention, and it seems as if it is an offhand mention, of the sacrifices upon the altar that Josiah offered. He would not come as high as Hezekiah in this aspect, his devotion unto the Lord, of his cleaving, of his adherence. Sprinkled the blood. In verse 24, we read again, the priests, after they had brought their other offerings, the sin offering, the king and the congregation, they laid their hands on them. Look again at the attention of the king, as well as the congregation. The king took part. No ambassage to do this part of the worship from the king. No substitute. No dignitary. No. Hezekiah took part in himself. Placed his hand there. And that token of faith. See the two doors, the two sides of the door, repentance and faith. There is no entry into success and prosperity without them. Not according to God's terms. Not for true prosperity, eternal, blessed prosperity. This is the origin, place of entry. The God who supplies it and accomplishes it, and under whose power and sovereignty is provided for and established. The heart of the king who would put his own hand to that which God had said. No other king is spoken of as prospering and succeeding as Hezekiah, accomplishing. And it's because of the depths that Israel dwelled in. Solomon couldn't be compared with Hezekiah because Solomon was already at a certain level, coming from the line of David, coming directly behind David. And while that aspect of his reign was way up, he would exceed it, grow greater. But Hezekiah's was after Jerusalem and Judah had sunk to the greatest depths that they would know before Josiah's time. And from there, Hezekiah once again established, pushed back the borders, and approached unto Solomon's greatness and all that he had and knew. Is that prosperity? It's prosperity for a king. It's appropriate for a king. You think on the origins of the paths of prosperity. If we think on his entry, we see that allegiance Hezekiah gave to the tabernacle and the ways of the Lord. Allegiance. It says that he clave, that he adhered. And that is sticking to. The thought or chasing. The thought here that strikes my mind is that of the lynx or the predator chasing the rabbit, and how you watch them in the nature shows, and they right with a twist and go. They never leave off following it until they capture the prey, until they succeed. And that's the idea here of cleaving, of adherence. He made a vow. It was in my heart, it was put in my heart to covenant with the Lord regarding the temple worship. You read of that in verse 10 of 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. A vow. An oath. To do what? To give his attention to the house of the Lord. To the place God shows forth His glory. Going to make a vow about it. It's going to be serious. I'm not going to simply take it lightly. It's the pathway to prosperity. It's not the prosperity of Hezekiah. It doesn't come apart from this. It is vitally connected. That's why we read those words in 2 Kings 18. You want prosperity in the things of the Lord? You give attention to the house of God. Make it a serious matter. Don't neglect it. Don't despise it. Think of it as the psalmist did in writing that Psalm 84. Think of it as that sanctuary for everything in the world, the sparrows and the swallows. Think of it as that place that I'm going to take up the lowest station, the doors of the temple. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's where Hezekiah started. He started at the doors. Chapter 29. In verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Hallelujah, it didn't end there for Hezekiah. He was willing to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. He was willing to take up that station first and foremost, and to see through the tasks there before all else. Hezekiah would go on to know great success in his reign and in his realm. No wonder to consider pathways of prosperity. I want to emphasize as well as we close that there was perseverance. The oath of Hezekiah was not something taken lightly. He persevered. We forget this. We think everything is going along just fine in our lives. We're going to church. We have our jobs. We're paying our bills. Our kids are growing up. They're going to school. That would take me, I could go down a rabbit trail there. My own life in Christian school and the dangers and the seeds of sin that were planted there that I don't even want to go down. It would take me forever. It would be a message in itself. We tend to think that everything is all right. And we don't understand that there is always more. And that our heart must be like the heart of the psalmist in Psalm 84, who thirsted for the house of God, who was a set of dry bones because he could not be there. Whenever he couldn't be there, he longed for it. He longed for the place of it. He longed for its truths to go over and over and over in his mind and to push out all else. Is that your thinking? Is that your thought as you enter the new year? You look at prosperity, friends. It's not limited to a certain time of life. Who was it, the cookie maker, who after 50 years old turned her regular baking chores into a multi-million dollar industry? And the stories are countless. It's not set to a certain time of life. It's not set to a certain station in life. How many times have we read of the student, of the young man, of the young woman who excelled and did well? Josiah was 8 years old when he ascended the throne. And immediately began to see prosperity and success. By the time he was 12 and 18, he had excelled all those that had come before him in certain ways. You want success in the house of the Lord? Be thankful that you're there. Be thankful that the Lord has given you a heart for it. Be thankful that the Lord has put you in the place, that He's opened the doors, that you've seen the repentance and the faith that are necessary to enter in, that you've seen the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've dwelt upon Him by faith, and dwell upon Him by faith. And now persevere. And now go on. Because why? We read that Hezekiah's reign or ministry or a realm ended there with the sacrifice? No, it goes on. That's the beginning. That's the first chapter of 6 to describe what would come after him. First 3 of this 2 Chronicles dealing with his work in the temple and in his own place in Jerusalem and in the Passover. And that's where we're leading. That's where we're coming to. He wasn't happy just to have this temple worship established for himself or for those in Jerusalem. He wanted others to know. He reestablished the Passover in the second month. The Lord moves. He did it suddenly. Things began to happen. He persevered. He called all of Israel, and many mocked him. He said, "All your ideas are for the birds, or you're spending way too much money on the temple and not enough on the poor, or some other nonsense that the world wants to shout and raise against every Christian in an effort to confuse them, browbeat them." Hezekiah gave his attention to that, and he called for the nation of Israel to assemble, and the people in Ephraim and Manasseh and Zebulun laughed and mocked at him. But, the Lord tells us, go on and read, but there were those many who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Asher, Zebulun, the northern tribes, the people overrun by the Assyrians, constantly under threat because of the false worship of their kings. He called to them, "Come, and celebrate the Passover with me. And they came. It was people from every walk of life, people who were uneducated in the things of Moses, in the things of the temple. They came and they weren't cleansed, they weren't purified, they weren't consecrated, but they participated anyway, contrary to the law. And Hezekiah persevered. He persevered in prayer. He prayed for them. He prayed that the Lord would pardon them. Because there's more than just the letter of the law to be followed. There is the spirit of the law that transcends. And Hezekiah knew that. And he prayed for them, and the Lord heard his prayer, hearkened unto him, and he healed the people. The people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from every wicked way and return unto me. I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. Persevere. You want to be an impact in this community? Do we want to make an impact across this country as the Church of Christ? Not just as the Free Presbyterian denomination, as the Church of Christ. Let's persevere in the paths of prosperity. What headed up this perseverance of Hezekiah was the great aspect of his life. It is mentioned for us and emphasized to us in every other passage in Isaiah, as well as in the 2 Kings portion, that is prayer. Prayer. He prayed. He gave himself to pray. He gave himself to seek the Lord. He did not allow his mind to be dulled. He sharpened it on the truth of God. He did not allow himself to pursue other activities where prayer was wanting to be made. Pray. Zechariah's life was a life of prayer. In this we find his perseverance in the pathways of prosperity. He went on. You know what? He didn't just do the big things like the Passover. He did the little things. You read in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 about his diligence on behalf of the Levites, the people who were forgotten. You don't read about it in any other portion of Scripture, but regarding any other king. Hezekiah took account of the Levites, not just the priests, not just the people who were seen, but the Levites, the people serving behind the scenes. And he made sure that their station was taken care of. He looked after it. He prospered, persevered in prosperity. We thought about the origins. We thought about perseverance. What about the power? What happened after Hezekiah persevered, extended his words and his wishes to all of Israel, pushed back the Philistines, began to have success in warfare, and this attracted the attention of the enemy? Always happens that way. As long as we're small, ineffectual, no influence, not having any impact, the devil doesn't much care. Sadly, many of his people, many of God's people, follow in the line of the devil, and they don't much care. The power, perseverance is revealed, and that Hezekiah stood against his enemies. And Sennacherib came against him. Sennacherib surrounded the city, approached the walls. Hezekiah knew where to turn. Turn to the Lord. Lord, where he had begun, nothing new. Turn to the commandments. Turn to the pathways of that which was true and good and right. Relied upon Him. The Lord prospered him against the enemy. The Lord wrought a victory in Israel like has never had been wrought before. And all of the host of Sennacherib, overrunning all of the area, doing whatever he wanted to do, came up short the walls of Jerusalem. And who stood on the tops of those walls? Who watched? Hezekiah. He was Karen. Persistent, persevering, powerful in prosperity. That was his life. That's the testimony of Hezekiah in the Word of God. I hope that the reality of it, and most important, the emphasis that Hezekiah's life gives us of Christ will make an impact upon us. Have you ever thought about it? Hezekiah, first thing we see in regard to Christ is he is in the line of Christ. It's mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, Ezekiel. Hezekiah points us to Christ. You see him as well at a very young age. He begins to pursue the things of the Lord, just like the Lord Jesus. 12 years of age. The courts of the temple, speaking with the rulers, the chief priests. You find Hezekiah initially cleansing the temple. What do we find of the Lord Jesus at the beginning of his ministry? He's cleansing the temple. Hezekiah points us to Christ. You find Hezekiah's great zeal for the sacrifices of the Lord. Find his attention to the blood. We find him present and there looking to every aspect of the Lord Jesus. Here's prosperity, brethren. Here's the prosperity that I long for our church, that I want to see this year. I want to see the success in that which God has called for us to do. I want to see the diligence and the devotion of our people to the house of the Lord, to everything that has been commanded to us, to obey, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see us have an influence upon those around us, those outside of our walls, whether they're here or whether in the place that we plan to move. I want to see influence. I can't live without it. I can't go on without seeing it. I trust that it has driven me to my knees and will keep me there. I long to see the blessing of this place, this people, enlarged, expanded, prosperous. It's my hope. It's my desire. I didn't ask particularly for this message, but I couldn't get away from it. I really had no plan for the delivery of it, as you've probably already figured out. It's simply the message for us for today. I trust and pray that it will move our hearts, that it will speak to us, that it will keep us. If you've never come into those initial doors, if you've never entered into God's way of prosperity, the way is very clear. Repent of your sins and turn your attention entirely to God's way of salvation, to the Lord Jesus Christ. cleave unto it. Chase it through every nook and cranny, through every shadow, every brightness of the sun, until you know its blessing, its power, its sustenance.